turning astray of the path that was left long ago. All we leave behind, time after time, is a legacy with nothing to show. Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today,
hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode number 94, and what this is going to be on is the father as a priest in his home. I'm continuing the series now that began a few episodes ago regarding about the three roles of the father in his home. And we already looked at the father as the king, and we looked at the father as the prophet, and now we are looking at the father as a priest in his home. So it should be a good show for you. Before we do that, I want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, make sure that you're registered as a user of the website. This enables you to give feedback under the comment section. It also enables you to get email updates when there are new posts that are made on the website or any kind of changes. You'll be notified automatically through email, so you can keep abreast of what's going on there without having to check on the website on a regular basis. And then also, second up is to consider using our affiliates. And the two affiliate focuses for today, first one is U.S. Legal Forms. The reason why I like U.S. Legal Forms is because it is the least expensive, most convenient way to access documents that you can use to build your legacy. For example, all of you who are listening should be already have, if you don't already have, then you need to get through U.S. Legal Forms a will, power of attorney, and advanced medical directive for both husband and wife. And you can get those documents through U.S. Legal Forms for about $50 and take a little bit of time and get them notarized, and you will be up and running with those. And so you want to make sure you have those documents. There are other ones on there as well, and you can look through those and see which ones are most suitable for you. But those three documents, a will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, are essential for every family if they're planning on leaving a legacy. Second of the affiliate focuses is Liberty Classroom. I love Liberty Classroom. I have been listening to the European Western Civilization history course so far. I completed the first half of it, and I'm about halfway through the second half of it, and it is fantastic. It's from a perspective of a libertarian-minded person who likes Western civilization. As all of the different courses are taught by those who actually like the field in which they teach and believe in what they teach. And just a great resource. You have access to PowerPoints, audios, videos. You can actually dialogue with the professors. If you have questions, you can email them and they will respond back in kind to your question. And you've got a course in Western Civ, U.S. History, two courses in each of those. You've got Logic, and you've got Introduction to Austrian Economics. There are more to come as well. All of that for less than $100. You cannot beat that kind of deal. So check out Liberty Classroom if you have any interest in learning any of those topics, or if you have children that you want to work through as a homeschool curriculum, this would be ideal for that. So Liberty Classroom. And then finally, if you like the show and you want to support the show, the best way to do that is by becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year. With that, you have access to about $50 worth of value on our exclusive members only page. There are some downloadable books. There are some charts and graphs you can download. There's debt snowball. You can also have access to some vendors that have given discounts on there. And I'm hoping to work that up a little bit better here shortly. But nonetheless, it still has about $50 worth of value now for only about $30. Plus, you're able to support the show. And so check out becoming a Legacy Partner. Well, that takes care of the introductory material. So now let's go ahead and talk about what it is to be a father and a priest in your home. And the word priest in Hebrew is the Hebrew word kohen. And it really means someone who is officiating, one who draws near. And so if you take that idea and you relate it to a father then serving as a priest in his home is someone who brings his family near to God. It's somebody who leads his family near to God and worshiping God. And Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 is one of my life verses. It's one of my verses that called me into the ministry. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." So he has three elements there. He himself sought the Lord. His desire was to seek the Lord first. Secondly, to do what was instructed in the scriptures to do. And then finally, to teach that which he is doing and that which he learns in the scriptures. That's really my goal as a Bible teacher as well. And Ezra, of course, was a priest. And so this is an aspect of being a priest, is seeking, teaching, and doing the things of the scriptures. But really what I want to do is I want to focus on three different roles that the father takes as a priest in his home, and then kind of break those down into some specific applications. And so the first one is a worship leader. A father is a priest, is a worship leader. Priests themselves are worship leaders. They are the ones, if you look at the Old Testament, they are the ones who lead the congregation in worship. They are the ones who are instrumental in making sure that people gather, the temple's taken care of, all of these things that are aspects of worship. They are the ones who are in charge of that. And so as a father, how can you be involved in worshiping and leading your family to worship? Well, the first and foremost, most important, I think, is family devotions. Now, of course, I've talked about this, and of course, this is a heartbeat of mine, and you will probably hear more and more throughout these episodes as you listen to me about the importance of a family devotions. It's something that has been lost in our culture and lost in Christianity, where we have delegated over to so many other authorities the teaching and the training of our children in worship, to where now we don't do that anymore as parents. But that's not the way that it should be. In fact, fathers are to be instrumental in teaching and training their children how to worship. And the way that's done is in the home. As you gather around every day, around your word, around the Word of God, study it together and proclaim it and worship and praise the Lord together. And so being involved in family worship is one way. Second way is actually taking your family to church. There's a sad trend in the church today, and that is that parents sometimes are dropping their kids off to youth groups, they're dropping their kids off to Sunday school classes, they're dropping their kids off to church services, that kind of thing, and they're not actually participating with them, or even worse than that, well, maybe not worse than that, but on the same par with that is where the husband does not go at all, the father does not go at all, but the wife, the mother, takes the children and drops them off, or even goes with them, but does not, the husband is nowhere to be found. I found this in so many churches, especially out where I am in the country. I guess the fathers, the men, don't feel it's very manly to go to church. But I would challenge them, there's nothing more manly than to go and to worship the Lord. And so taking time, taking the effort, taking the discipline necessary to take your family to church and to teach them how to worship God together in a corporate setting is so instrumental as a role of a priest. Now, a couple of things need to consider when it comes to going to church and leading your family in worship with that is you want to make sure that you're in a church that is sound. You want to make sure that you're in a church that is sound doctrinally, that it's has both the right doctrine as well as the right practice, one that encourages the family, but also challenges the family to seek the Lord. And then I also want to make one indication in here. There's another trend, I think, that is a trend that is a negative trend in our churches, and that is, and maybe this is something that's been around for a long time, but it's hard to find men voices and men leading in singing. Now, we sometimes have worship leaders or something that are men, and you know they may lead with a guitar or something like that. But you look out into the congregation, and most of the fathers are just kind of mumbling the words. They're not really singing or something like that. And I know that not everybody is gifted with music, but I believe it's a role of a father to lead his family in singing and worship to God. And so to whatever extent you can do that, and as you practice that in your home, it's a great thing to be able to, you know, I'll just tell you an example. I was in a church, the one that I helped start a while back. And, you know, we had a lot of male strong leadership in that church. And when we sang, you could hear the male voices very distinctly because none of those men shied away from praising God in song. And that's the way it should be, that, you know, we lead our families in worship. And part of worship, of course, is singing, as well as in teaching the scriptures and other things. And so taking your family together in worship, family devotions, those are both aspects of being a worship leader. And then also leading and establishing and performing memories and ceremonies to God. In other words, making spiritual memories is also a way of leading spiritually and participating as a priest. You know, it's not a coincidence that in Old Testament, the priests were the ones who also led the family in, or led the churches, led the congregation in various formal ceremonies and spiritual disciplines and things like that. And so, you know, I think of the New Testament concept, New Testament theology, and the New Testament practice of baptism. And what a great way for fathers to be involved in that is being involved in baptizing their children and making sure that their children are following that practice and teaching what that's all about. And you know, there are lots of other ones as well, the Lord's Supper, and there's just, you know, various ceremonies and practices that we have as church people that reflect what it is to worship God. And fathers need to be involved in participating in those things. And then also creating various ceremonies. You can create ceremonies around the church calendar, around the Jewish calendar. I know that there's a lot of discussion in the church today about whether or not Christians can or should or are able to participate in the Jewish festivals. And, you know, of course, the Jewish festivals would be things like Passover and Tabernacles and Hanukkah even, and, you know, some of these other ones. And my perspective is on that is that if they help in leading you to worship God and understand Him and what He has done and what Jesus has done in fulfilling these ceremonies and these practices, then by all means participate in them. I remember there was a friend of mine one time who told me that it was heretical for Christians to participate in Jewish feast days and holidays. And I just don't see that in the scriptures. Now, certainly it is unreasonable and it is heretical for Christians to say that we must keep them in order to be saved or anything like that. But nonetheless, there is a great deal of instruction that can take place when a father participates in various religious ceremonies and participates in various kinds of events around the year calendar. And this, you know, this could be true even of the Christian calendar and some of the events there. Now, I know this is, again, a controversial idea on whether or not to participate in Christmas and Easter and some of those things, but you have to decide that as a father and what you want to participate in and what you want to lead your family in. But nonetheless, there are plenty of opportunities to be able to participate in spiritual and ceremonial activities that would be of means of worshiping God. So that's the first idea as a worship leader. The second concept or the second role of a priest in his home is to exemplify a consecrated life. This means that the father needs to consecrate himself. It's interesting that before the priests could go in and to worship and to lead their people in worship, before they would go into the altar and before they would go into the holy place and all these things, they would first have to cleanse themselves. They would first have to consecrate themselves and devote themselves to the Lord and make sure that they were in right relationship with Him first before they were able to lead others into it. And the same thing holds true of fathers in their home. It is quite hypocritical when a father is telling his children or instructing his children to do one thing when he himself is not. And so if we want our children to be consecrated to the Lord, if we want their hearts to be turned towards Him, if we want them to be led by His Spirit, then we as fathers must lead in that. We must be the examples that they are to follow. And so we must be faithful to make sure that we have any undefilement removed from us. In other words, we must confess our sins before God and have Him cleanse us before we begin to lead others. And then secondly, we are to offer up sacrifices and offerings to God. This is another way of exemplifying a consecrated life is offering up offerings. Now, that does not mean that we are to participate in, you know, offering up bulls and calves and all these kinds of things that they did in the Old Testament apart from Christ. But what it does mean is that we are to offer up our lives. Of course, the New Testament tells us that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. In other words, we can give of our time, we can give of our resources, we can give of ourselves as an offering. And by doing that, we are exemplifying a consecrated life. So there are three things that we can give, we can offer. We can offer our time. And time is so precious. Very few of us, there's no one that really has enough time. And if we had enough time, we'd fill it, and then we wouldn't have enough time again. And so time is a precious resource. But when we can devote our time and consecrate our time to the Lord, it is a way of consecrating our lives and living a holy example before our children. And then, of course, we can offer ourselves. And this is in part like offering our time, but more importantly, we can offer ourselves in service. We can give of ourselves to other people. We can humbly serve, just as Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And then also we can give of our money. It's a pathetic thing that so many Christians are giving so little of their resources. In the Scripture's minimum requirement is 10%. And how much greater would it be if God's people rallied around the whole concept of being able to provide what is needed in the churches and we gave 10, 15, 20% of what God has bountifully given to us. And we can support the churches, we can support the ministries of around the world, missionary efforts and all of these things if we offer ourselves and we offer our time and we offer our money as sacrifices before God and be an example to that so that one generation after another would pick up the baton and they too would be able to live consecrated lives because of our example. And then also we can offer forgiveness. I think it's interesting to contrast the role of a prophet and the role of a priest. And typically in the Scriptures, the role of the prophet is one who is courageously and boldly proclaiming with conviction God's word. On the other hand, you have the priests, and the priests are typically involved, although they are involved in teaching God's word, they are typically involved in mercy and grace and propitiation and redemption and the things of that. And so now I'm not talking here about the Roman Catholic doctrine of absolution, where you know the priest is able to absolve others of their sins when they confess them. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that as fathers, it is important that we offer forgiveness to others. You know, I would guess that if we were to take a survey of families and we were to ask our children and we were to ask our wives if the father confesses his sins and forgives the sins of his children and his wife, I would say that we would find few who are in that category. And that's not the way that it should be. Instead, we should find men who are raising themselves up as priests and are willing to graciously and humbly forgive others of their wrongs and be merciful in the context of that. That's one of the roles of a priest. Now, it is true that we are to also have the role of prophet and courageously and boldly proclaim the truth. But at the same time, we are also to be gentle and patient and kind with those who have sinned and so forgive them when they have wronged against us. And then the third way in which we are to participate as priests in our home is that we are to be involved in intercessory prayer. We are to be intercessory prayer leaders. Now, of course, the most important person that we are to pray for in our relationships is our spouses. And man, what a great and important calling it is to pray for your wife. And of course, wives to pray for your husbands. But you can look at all kinds of surveys, you can, you know, read all kinds of information, and you will find that one of the most important aspects of intimacy between a husband and a wife is when the husband prays with the wife. And what a great way of leading your wife into worship when you pray together with her. And then also praying for each of your children. And I'm hoping and I'm assuming that you already do this as a father. But also, there are ways in which you can make this a little bit more specific. And I know that, especially as you get more and more children, it seems more difficult to pray specifically for each child. And so we end up praying some generic generalities about our children and their salvation, which there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it's also good to pray more specifically. So here's what I've done is I've got five children and my wife. So that makes six people. And so from starting Monday through Saturday, I pray for each one specifically, starting with the oldest and going to the youngest. And each day specifically, I set aside for each child. And so that one day, I spend a great deal of time working through the issues in that child's heart and laying them before the Father and asking for Him to intercede in that particular area that that child is working in. And what a great way for a father to intercede. And I'm sure some of you probably have even better examples of ways in which a father can intercede for his children. I would encourage you to put those in the comments section and, give some input to those who might be hearing and find some encouragement in that. But that's something I've found has been really helpful for me. And then also praying in behalf of those children that you have that are younger that aren't quite able to express their prayers before God. And of course, each time that we discipline our children, we should be encouraging them or, challenging them to confess their sin before God so that He can forgive them. But at the same time, there is an aspect where their faith and their understanding of that is limited. And so that's where we as fathers come in. And so when our children sin and they are young, it's our job as fathers to intercede in behalf of that child, to petition God and to ask Him to work in the heart of that child, to mold that child's heart and to draw him to Himself. One of the prayers that I pray on a regular basis in my household is, the prayer that reflects the scriptures that said, "Turn the hearts of my children towards me, that I might turn them towards God." And that's a prayer of intercession of a father's heart who is able to be a priest to his family. And so I want to encourage you fathers out there to be worship leaders, to be worship leaders in your home, to be worship leaders among the congregation that you fellowship with on a regular basis, to sing songs, to lead people into consecrated lives, to be an example of a life that is dedicated to the Lord, a life that is in service to Him, humbly serving Him. And then I want to encourage you fathers out there to be involved in intercessory prayer, to make sure that you are lifting up your family and the needs that your family has and the needs of the community, the needs of the church, and interceding in their behalf just as a priest would. And by doing so, you are exercising your role as a priest. And I hope that's been an encouragement to you, and I hope that's been a challenge to you. And to go be a priest for your family. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
Our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Change your legacy. What will you do to change your